Slavs, and the Near Abroad by Father Raymond J. de Souza. The Feast of the Apostles of the Slavs, Saints Cyril and Methodius, is observed liturgically on February 14th and not at all culturally, as school children draw valentines instead and their fathers buy flowers. No harm done. If the Feast of the Holy Brothers had an octave, this year's would be remembered as bringing much harm to the Slavic lands. As the world rubbed its eyes in disbelief, the President of the United States offered his thoughts, analysis, and proposals regarding Russia's war on Ukraine, the third anniversary of which falls on Monday. In 2022, Catholics in Ukraine prayed that President Vladimir Putin of Russia might have a change of heart. This year, they beseech God for the same regarding President Donald Trump. The two presidents see the world in similar ways, in which great powers dominate their near abroad. St. John Paul the Great, a proud Slav himself, had a different view, which he laid out in some detail in the 1980s. The contrasting views are apparent before the Christian world now. In 2014, when Putin invaded Ukraine and annexed Crimea, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry was distressed, muttering that it was a 19th century act in the 21st century. He must have been totally flummoxed when Putin then gave his Crimea address to the Russian Duma and went back not to the 19th century, but 900 years earlier to the Crimea where Prince Vladimir was baptized, noting that his spiritual feat of adopting orthodoxy predetermined the overall basis of the culture, civilization, and human values that unite the peoples of Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus. "We are one people," Putin continued. "Kyiv is the mother of Russian cities. Ancient Rus is our common source, and we cannot live without each other." In the name of these spiritual and fraternal bonds, Putin has invaded and killed his brother Slavs. He has done this with the blessing of Kirill, the Russian Orthodox Patriarch of Moscow, who understands himself to be the spiritual father of the Ukrainians being killed by the Russian armed forces. For that reason, the father and head of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, Patriarch Sviatoslav Shevchuk of Kyiv, on a visit to the United States and Canada in these days, has referred to the war as sacrilegious. It is unlikely that President Trump has views on the 10th century baptism of the Slavic peoples, but he certainly has ideas about the 19th century. Unlike Kerry, who lamented 19th century thinking, Trump welcomes it. In his second inaugural address, Trump declared that the United States will once again consider itself a growing nation, one that expands our territory. It was a return to the Monroe Doctrine and manifest destiny, words Trump deployed to rather extravagant effect, speaking of setting out from Mars. Trump did not speak of the American founding, but did mention two presidents, William McKinley, 1897 to 1901, and Theodore Roosevelt, 1901 to 1909. Trump frequently praises that era. Tariff is the most beautiful word in the dictionary. The Monroe Doctrine, announced in the State of the Union Address in 1823, instructed the European powers to consider the American continent, North and South, as the sphere of the United States. Their colonial days were over in America's backyard. In his 1904 State of the Union Address, Theodore Roosevelt noted that in certain situations, adherence to the Monroe Doctrine may force the United States to the exercise of an international police power. America reserved to itself the right to intervene in its own backyard and to acquire new territory, as it did in the McKinley-Roosevelt years. And if there are to be colonies in this hemisphere, Greenland, Panama, Guantanamo, then the United States should have them. It is easy to imagine that he would be sympathetic to how Putin thinks about Russia's near abroad. That term, the English translation of Bliznai Zrubizai, came to prominence after the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. Russians, Putin prominent among them, lamented the loss of their near abroad. William Sapphire, in a 1994 column on the etymology of the near abroad, noted that many of the people in those adjacent countries, especially the non-Russians, reject this heavy-handed Russian version of the Monroe Doctrine that some Moscow officials call a hen gathering up its chicks. Trump lacks the Galline maternal touch, but he looks upon Greenland, Panama, and even Canada as chicks needing to return to the coop. Indeed, The way he speaks about Canada, not a real country, but more suitably the 51st state, echoes how Putin speaks about Ukraine as an artificial creation and essentially part of Russia. Both Trump and Putin believe their chicks ought not fly the coop. A respected Canadian political columnist recently speculated on what Trump and Putin discuss in their long chats, even before he returned to the presidency. He suspects that Putin tells Trump that great countries control their backyards. In fact, they're great countries because they control their backyards. The Monroe Doctrine, amended by TR, revivified by Trump, likely gets a sympathetic hearing in Putin's Moscow. Patriarch Sviatoslav was in Washington on the day that Trump vented his rage against Ukraine. Likely he hopes that the two most senior Catholics in the Trump administration, Vice President J.D. Vance and Secretary of State Marco Rubio, might have a greater measure of respect for the heroism of the Ukrainian Catholics during the Cold War, the largest underground church in the world, having been suppressed and martyred by Stalin in 1946. Vance and Rubio might benefit from the Slavic vision of John Paul. 40 years ago, he wrote a now-forgotten encyclical, Slavorum Apostoli, Apostles of the Slavs. The first Slavic pope had already declared St. Cyril and St. Methodius co-patrons of Europe, alongside St. Benedict in 1980. The brothers from Salonika were missionaries to Slavic lands in the 9th century, as the development of the Slavic culture and nations began. In 880, Pope John VIII approved the use of the Old Slavonic language in the liturgy, translated by Cyril and Methodius. The 1980 designation of the brothers as patrons of Europe was intended to mark the 11th centenary of that historic permission. In Venice, before the representatives of the ecclesiastical world, who held a rather narrow idea of the church and were opposed to this vision, St. Cyril defended the vernacular with courage. John Paul wrote in his 1985 encyclical. He showed that many peoples had already in the past introduced and now possessed a liturgy written and celebrated in their own language, such as the Armenians, the Persians, the Abbasians, the Georgians, the Sogdians, the Goths, the Avars, the Tersians, the Khazars, the Arabs, the Copts, the Syrians, and many others. Saints Cyril and Methodius prepared the ground for the Latin baptism of Poland, 966, and the Greek baptism of Kievan Rus, 988. The millennium of Polish Christianity in 1966 was decisive in John Paul's pastoral formation, and, as Pope in 1988, he ardently desired to travel to Moscow for the Russian millennium. The Soviets refused, of course, but John Paul, through emissaries and official documents, lifted up the millennial anniversaries to promote the spiritual unity of both Russia and Ukraine. In turn, that would nourish the common spiritual identify of all Europe. John Paul prayed that the whole of Europe, that may feel ever more strongly the need for religious and Christian unity and for a brotherly communion of all its peoples, so that when incomprehension and mutual distrust have been overcome, and when ideological conflicts have been conquered in the common awareness of the truth, it may be for the whole world an example of just and peaceful coexistence in mutual respect and inviolate liberty. The year after the Kievan millennium, the Berlin Wall fell, and soon the entire evil empire, both external and internal, blew apart. The chicks got out before the fox could return to the henhouse. Now the incomprehension and ideological conflicts have returned. The fox and the bear are back. Putin makes sacrilegious appeals to the 10th century for his brutal aggression. And now he has found support in Trump's return to the 19th century. John Paul's vision looked to common spiritual patrimony to foster peaceful harmony between nations. The Putin-Trump vision understands peace to be the subjugation by the great power of its neighbors. John Paul's Slavic heart is breaking in heaven. Patriarch Sviatoslav is now, even though a minority as a Catholic in Ukraine, the true spiritual father of the Slavic peoples. As a bishop, he is a successor to the biblical apostles. In this moment, he is also successor to Cyril and Methodius, apostles of the Slavs.